good. So good morning. I'm happy to see that you actually made it this morning. It's 8:30 on Wednesday in Vegas, so I was secretly fearing we might have just two people here, so I'm good now. Before we start this the presentation, let me get the clicker, that probably works better. We're going to talk about software-defined networking. It's part of the software-defined networking track, hence the title. And we're going to specifically take a look at Wi-Fi and Link. Now, for those who haven't read the abstract and are thinking, is this my session? We will be talking about specifically how we use software-defined networking to tackle a lot of complicated issues you have with Wi-Fi and actually optimizing call quality on Wi-Fi. I have Tenu with me. She'll introduce herself in a couple of slides, but she works for Uber Networks. I work for Microsoft. And we will be talking about Uber Networks and how they've done it, basically because they're the only ones that have done it for Wi-Fi and Link at this point in time. So if you're thinking this might be a session about how to configure your Wi-Fi controller in general or a deep dive into SDN specifically, this would be your time to leave. If you think this sounds fun and this sounds interesting for us, then please stay. It is a level 300 session, so we'll do geeky stuff. We won't go too deep, but we will show some logging, some tracing, and how to set up this whole thing. So are we all comfortable with that? Very good. No one's up, no one's leaving. We're doing well. Well, still, if everybody left and we had two left, I would still be okay. So this is me. I wasn't able to do introduction slides yesterday, so I made up for it today. So I'm Cornel Burns. I'm a voice architect within the Enterprise Communication Center of Excellence, which is winning the title for the longest group that you're in, I believe, right now. I'm part of Services Headquarters, and I actually live in the Netherlands. And the airplane, according to my girlfriend. So I have a telephony and networking background. I collect Lego Star Wars things, and all my colleagues tease me to death with that. So if you have one of the ultimate collector sets, we could talk and we could trade probably. Yes, I've used these events to successfully find some of the sets I didn't have. So I started off with LCS 2003. I've done OCS, Link. I'm a Microsoft Certified Master and a Microsoft Certified Solution Master. And that's me. And let's have Tenu introduce herself. Yes. So we have something about Aruba?
To give you a brief introduction about Aruba, we are an 11-year-old company. We have been named as one of the leading innovators in the wireless LAN industry. We looked at Wi-Fi, we looked at wireless, and decided that just cookie-cutter wireless LAN solutions, which did not have intelligence into the applications, was not going to cut it. And we designed a product which did deep packet inspection and was application-aware way back 7 to 8 years ago. And we've kept improving on the capabilities of the platform today to become one of the largest vendors who can support real-time applications on our platform. While most of the other information is self-explanatory, if you want more information about Aruba, we do have a booth over here. Swing by, and we will give you our marketing pitch there and keep this technical.
Yes. So So although we Aruba Networks is deeply involved in this session, and we will use them as example, we're not making this a marketing session. So it's I'm sorry if you were hoping for that. So the agenda that we want to talk to you about is basically the unified communication of Wi-Fi. Why are the challenges? Why do we think software-defined networking is one of the great things for Wi-Fi? I want to talk to you about how do we use software-defined networking to optimize that link experience over Wi-Fi. Then we'll do the fun, geeky stuff, which is I think is fun. It's a deep dive into Wi-Fi, so we'll show you how do you actually set this up, how do you configure this, what's the impact, what's happening, and how does it provide great value for you. And we'll do a conclusion about that. So I'm heading it over to Tainu, and she'll tell you about the UCC of Wi-Fi challenges.
So before I jump into why SDN API, just by the show of hands, how many of you over here think you know exactly what SDN stands for in this day and age today? That definition is clear, and we know where it fits into the future. Just perfect. Do you think more from a data center perspective, more from an application perspective?
Application
perspective, perfect. So the reason I was leading into this is when I talk about a lot of these challenges, I'm talking about these challenges because to this day, we have a lot of applications running on the access infrastructure, but you will find that the applications don't really talk to the infrastructure. And that's what we're looking at SDN API to solve. Having one centralized intelligence, and I think Cornel is going to go into the details of this, but having that one centralized intelligence. And where I'm setting this up is to go through some of the challenges that you see, right? How many of you have mobile devices, more than one? Great. Two. Three. Wow, still hands up. I have four, so I'm not judging. but where I'm getting to with this is mobile devices are hitting your network, whether you like it or not. Everybody wants your real-time applications to run on your mobile devices, and there needs to be a way to optimize how these mobile devices are on your Wi-Fi network, right? There are things like BYOD challenges. There are things like running the applications on your devices itself. And as you notice, most of your mobile devices, I'm hoping, doesn't have Ethernet ports. So they're running 11ac, they're on Wi-Fi, and they're on cellular LTE, and all the good stuff. So why do we think that this is a great opportunity for Wi-Fi? No Ethernet ports means you are depending on Wi-Fi in your infrastructure, in your day-to-day job, at your office, at your home, you are. We did a poll, and we found that 78% of the next generation or the current working workforce prefers to work on Wi-Fi, A, because it's more cost-effective, and B, because it gets them quickly on all their devices to where they need to be. So the challenges you face on client side, why, again, coming back to why is it necessary for all the components in the network to be talking to each other? On the client side, you have high level of client diversity. Today, with the amount of devices available to you, would all of you be happy walking around with the same device or the same desk phone as you did 10 years ago, as the companies enforced 10 years ago? I wouldn't. I mean, I even want to customize my phone, let alone customize the model of the phone. The BYOD and security onboarding are still challenges. Client roaming is not really optimized. Because you have client diversity, all of the solutions cannot optimize unless you know what is running on the solution, on the network. Tagging, we still have, let's just say it's standard because WMM is out there, but implementation of it is really not standard. Each one does their own thing on the client. Have any of you experienced that two of your devices will roam very differently, tag very differently, and you have no idea why? On the wired LAN, wired LANs were typically built out with a lot of capacity. A lot of our customers, when we talk to them, have not implemented QoS. And normally, when you go out and deploy UCC, we've found that a lot of customers do not even enforce tagging on their servers until somebody walks up to them and says, hey, do this. You haven't done these 10 steps for QoS. These are some of the problems we're trying to solve here. On the Wi-Fi limitation, Wi-Fi is great. Cellular is great. We can walk around with our device and keep connected. But just as cellular, there is a limited bandwidth issue with Wi-Fi. And the question is not how much can you keep adding, it's how do you intelligently prioritize the traffic that you have such that delayed, jitter-sensitive traffic is getting better performance than your background traffic, which is more latency-tolerant. And also, how do you make up for all the issues that you're seeing on the wired network? Because at the end of the day, if the traffic is not prioritized in the air, you are going to see bad call quality. Over to Gurneel.
So let's talk a little bit about how we use SDN to optimize that experience. So when you look at the traditional networking, and yes, this is me in Visio trying to depict traditional networking, we've got like really different platforms. On the lower left corner, you can see Link. It has its users connected, and Link knows about the users, and that's about it, right? So Link knows about Link, and there's nothing really more going on there. Yeah, we have a QE server. Yes, we have a CDR server, but that's all, well, after it's done. Link knows Link, and that's about it. We have our traditional controllers that support an X amount of access points, and the controller will then tell the access point, this is what you need to do. But the controller really doesn't know about what's happening on Link. It's the controller's the intelligence, and whether that's a separate device or it's on the access point like you have at home or in your router, it's a separate device. And the intelligence is on that specific device, which means if I have a setup like the top right and I have a lot of access points, how does access point 1 know what access point 2 is doing? Well, usually proprietary protocols. They talk to each other in a limited fashion, and you have to push configuration out to all the different access points. So usually when you go into the larger enterprises, you go into the controller with separate access points, but then still, how does your controller know about your traffic? QS tagging. Well, that's going to be fun if someone comes in with their Android device with a Link client that we support or an Android tablet with a Link client. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to do QS tagging on that device they brought in themselves. I don't know how I'm going to push a policy out to that device. It's not going to work. So how am I going to recognize that traffic? The controller doesn't know. Link knows. So when we look at that and we look at a traditional network, this is sort of like how we configure QS tagging, right? So we go in, we set up port ranges, we talk to network admins, they don't really want to talk to us. We go back and then we configure the port ranges the right way, they check it, they'll allow some QS tagging based on the port ranges. We have to sort of bother about the devices we use. It's not fun. This is something that takes weeks to get done right. And even then, we actually have, so for Microsoft, we have a specialized offering, a network assessment, in which we actually check if your tagging is done right. And then we can only do tagging for a limited amount of devices. So we want to make sure that this is done smarter. So introducing software-defined networking. So this is software-defined networking as a concept. So you have your apps, Link, Skype, that know about what's happening. Right? Link knows what's happening with the Link clients. We have a controller, which you have, basically we have a lot of vendors that build different controllers. And you have your endpoints. Those can be access points, those can be switches, those can be routers, anything that a controller can control. Hence the name controller. The controller talks to the endpoints using southbound APIs, and the controller talks to the application using northbound APIs. And we specifically put the applications on top because north is up, and that made a lot of sense to us. So some of the things you can see here is that we have virtual switches and physical switches in our drawing on the left, because we don't really care if that switch is virtual or physical. So if you're going to data center virtualization, you have virtual switches, that's fine. Controller can talk to them. If you have routers, if you have access points, if you have firewalls, a controller can talk to them. These are open protocols that we use, that we're trying to push out. So Microsoft is one of the members of the SDN task force. We actually have a seat on the council where we help push open protocols for these kind of things. We want to make sure that if you have a Cisco controller and you have a Juniper router, and you have a Barracuda firewall, that just works. And we have link, and everything's done automatically. So if we take this concept and put it in the Aruba vision, and the way Aruba is implementing this right now, and this is pretty neat. So what they've done is that all the existing controllers, all the existing Wi-Fi controllers they have that are capable of running 6.3, a software version 6.3, are actually capable of running, of being an SDN controller for the wireless network. So we have the access point mobility switches. They connect to the mobility controller in the middle. And there's this SDN API that at this point takes all the information from Link, it aggregates it, and takes intelligent action based on the information it receives from Link. So some of the things we do, and we're going to show you in this presentation, is we actively apply QoS tagging based on the information we get from Link. Link is telling them this IP, this port is going to send a UDP audio stream to that IP, that port. Control knows, well, that's audio, let's do DHCP tagging there. We tag the traffic correctly. And because we use SDN for that, we don't care whether that's an Android device, an iPhone, Windows phone, doesn't matter. It's Link. It's a Link audio stream, and we'll recognize that. We'll apply WMM and QoS traffic at the same time, QoS tagging at the same time. We'll do real-time monitoring. We get all this information from Link, so why not use that intelligently to actually show you this is the quality of the call? Some APRA, RF, so it's that we can manage the quality of your wireless connection based on what you're doing. So if you're making a Link video call, if you've got 15 people on the same AP, and we know the other AP is now used for file transfer, why not push some of the video people to the file transfer access point, and then just turn down the file transfer a little bit? The guy doing the file transfer doesn't really mind. Okay, I'm getting 1 Mbit instead of 2, but my video calls are going to be great. Things like that, just smart things with your network based on the information we're getting from Link. And what we're trying to do, and this is what we're going to show you, is remember that picture with all the steps we need to do. This is how we do tagging and set up correct QoS tagging for Wi-Fi with SDN. This is it. And we're going to show you, and there's nothing more than this. We go into Link, we enable SDN. We tell Link, well, here's my controller. We go into the controller, we tell them, well, this Link application is pretty cool. Please trust Link. They're going to tell you the right things. And the controller says, sure. If you trust Link, I trust Link. And you're done. That's it. You now have enabled QoS tagging for all your Wi-Fi clients. That's pretty sweet, isn't it? That makes your life a lot easier. So let's take a look at a use case I built for you. So I've got a Wi-Fi user, I've got another Wi-Fi user, and we're going to call a wired client. And just to make sure that I made it really complicated for myself, I'm using the Link Modern app on a Surface RT, because that's fun, pushing Windows policies to write. So that's a hard client. I could have used an Android client as well. I'm using the Modern app on the Surface RT. I'm using a Surface Pro with a Link 2013 client, using multiple pools, so we really don't want to make it difficult. Right? It's easy to do it for this one standard edition. I'm using 2 Enterprise Edition pools. I'm using 2 standard edition pools. I have a wired desktop Link 2013 client. I'm using the SDN API 2.0. It's been released like a month ago. It's for download for everyone. I'm using different kind of access points. And I'm using a 7200 series controller from Aruba that's actually running 6.400. That's not released yet. For those running Aruba networks, Aruba Wi-Fi, the latest is 6.313 or 4. That's currently out. 6.4 is coming. We're showing you 6.4. The main difference is the GUI has changed, because it looks way nicer. You get a really great dashboard, which we're going to show you. That's one of the reasons we're showing you this. If you run Aruba Wi-Fi right now, everything I'm doing, you can do yourself. And I've included instructions, so it's really nice to do this. So this is my setup. And as you can see, I didn't take it easy on myself, right? It's a lot of pools, different clients, different access points, controller, had to make it hard on myself. So you guys would at least think, well, this guy knows what he's talking about. One of the components, so for those that have deployed SDN API 1.2, the main difference that's between 1.2 and 2.0, and there are many more differences, but the main difference here is that we actually introduced a SDN controller here that aggregates all the results from the different front ends. So looking at the setup, and I'll talk a little bit more about what they do, is that we actually have the SDN API. So when we download this SDN API, we get the SDN manager. It's installed on a separate server role. It can run other stuff as well. The only requirement is you have .NET 4.5. I'm running this on a separate machine, just to make it extra difficult for me. And all I need to do during installation is basically tell it, well, what's my SDN controller? And I can add one or more SDN controllers. In my setup, I'm using my my Aruba controller. I'm using my submit URI, and that's it. I don't have to configure anything else. We're done now. I am using HTTP because I wanted to do some NetMon tracing. Our recommended approach for this is using HTTPS. We will be transmitting some sensitive information. So I've done some things here to show you nice logging. We would recommend to use HTTPS. So once you install this and you got your controller up, your manager up and running, so that's running on this little server here, I go on and install it on the on the front ends. One of the things that are important to note here is that once you need to make changes to this, there's a little config file that's located in program files, Microsoft Link Server, Microsoft Link SDN API. It's the sdnmanager.exe.config file. You can edit that file. We've included a Word document that says these are the changes you can make and this is why you might want to make them. For now, if you run this with Aruba, install and you're good. The SDN API, that's the actual API that sits on the front end, captures the QE logs. It's installed on every front end you have. So if you think about the topology I showed you, I had two Enterprise Edition pools with three front ends each. I had two Standard Edition pools. So I actually have 8 servers I need to install this on. The current limitation, I'm not 100% sure about the limitations we have right now, but you can install this on a boatload of pools right now. That's why we disconnected SDN Manager. That's why we disconnected the APIs. So you can have a lot of pools I'm using 4, and this one single entry point towards the controller. There are some changes you need to do. During the installation, it asks you for your primary SDN manager, secondary SDN manager, so we do support failover. If one of your managers should fail, it fails over to the second manager. I'm using one. There are some changes I need to make in my config file. I need to make these on the front end. The important ones here, hide PII. By default, we obfuscate SIP addresses so that any information transmitted cannot be related back to a client. I've set this to false because that gives me way better information in my controller. If you're running HTTPS, not a problem at all, right? Because we feed this information into controller, and if your network admin team can't be trusted, then you might have different issues there. You get a nice overview if you disable the hide PII. By default, we obfuscate. I change this to false. Send all call QA. By default, we only send bad call QE reports. I set this to true because that setting actually sends all quality of experience data towards the controller. And I want the controller to be aware of all calls, not just the bad calls. two more changes that other vendors might require. Send raw SDP to send the raw SDP message. And send call invite to send the actual call invite. So we've used this strategy of naming options exactly to watch what they're doing. It's a great strategy. There's a Word document included that will tell you exactly what all the toggles do. I took out the 4 most important ones. And a tool you need to change to make this work. So we've got our SDN API. It now talks to our SDN manager, and the SDN manager knows about the controller. So now we're going to do the difficult stuff, right? So who's got experience with configuring Wi-Fi controllers? One person, a few person. Who thinks this is an easy thing to do? Very good. So who's fearing what we have to do on the controller right now? There we go. That's a good answer. I was fearing that as well. So I'm going to show you the controller. So are you ready now? So here we go. So I go into the controller, and I select my port. I say enable deep packet inspection. I said that I wanted to do real-time analysis. And I'm done. At this point, we have configured SDN on Aruba Wi-Fi, and this works now. It's nothing else we need to do. Everything you're going to see, we're going to show you now, is done by these three little things. So once again, I enabled HTTP just so I could do the netmul sniffing. You can do a certificate. It'll completely support a secure connection. So what have we done? We have enabled automatic traffic prioritization. The controller will get an update on the call setup, the type of call. Is this audio, video, desktop sharing? Is this a file transfer? The call will be automatically prioritized on the Aruba Networks controller and will prioritize it through the access points. Link voice, video, desktop sharing will get the right priority, and we're going to show you. The other link features we've now enabled, because the controller is now aware, we can do we can do active load balancing. We can do advanced monitoring. So who's ever tried to troubleshoot a Wi-Fi call over link? Who thought it was a lot of fun? See, no one ever raises their hand when I ask that. It's difficult, right? Because you need to find the call, need to see what's happened, what's my RF quality at that point, what's my packet loss, do I trust what the QE server is saying? So I trust what the QE server is saying, but what's my controller saying? What can I trace that call back? And then the fun things start with the timestamps on your controller that really have to match the timestamps on your link server, and that's not going to be fun. Right now, your controller knows about every call that's happening. So if you have a bad call, you click on the call, and it'll show you exactly these are all the things that were happening on that specific call. And we'll show you. Don't just trust me. I'll show you. and we'll show you a nice system overview. So we're fully aware of what's happening in our network now by just enabling these simple steps. Taking the screenshots took me way longer than enabling this, because it's really that easy. So a deep dive into this, because there is geeky stuff coming, I warrant you. So we got a use case in which, I like seeing my own name, so I made a user that's named Cornel. I've got a user that names Thomas, and I've got a user named Tenu. So Cornel makes a call to Thomas. He's on a different wireless client. He's on a different pool. I really wanted to make it difficult for me. I made sure we were connected to the same wireless access point, because I really wanted to make sure that we make this as difficult as possible. And we actually start a video call, and we add Tenu, who's on a wired client, on a different pool. So we share some content by one of the wireless clients, and we really want all of this to be prioritized the right way. It is all vanilla. So we do not support QS by default. I didn't enable any settings in Link for QS. This is all out-of-the-box vanilla configuration. Now, I'm going to show you that this QS is automatically applied and that we actually do things like AP load balancing. We give you the right statistics. So, because I like seeing my picture, we just got new pictures. So for everybody that now downloading the presentation, you get to see like this picture of me in the middle of it. So, that's how the guy looked like. So I place a call on my wireless laptop to Thomas on his wireless laptop. So what's happened? So the information flow in a nutshell. So I have my link front-end service. We could see we're on different pools. So on a wireless laptop, I call Thomas, who's on a different wireless laptop. So we have some signaling going on. As the call setup progresses, we have the front-ends sending their reports, their SDN. So the summary, it's an XML file, and I'll show you. we have this send this all to the SDM manager. The SDM manager aggregates these results, sends them over to the controller. The controller processes that, applies all the things it wants to do, like US tagging, maybe load balancing, maybe any kind of RF management we need to do, because now we know that this client that might be in some sort of a sleep mode or low power mode is actually doing voice calls now and video, which is important to us. And we apply the appropriate QoS settings, which means that everything is prioritized. At the end of the call, the SDN API sends the QE results. We enabled that send all call QE, sends the QE results to the controller, and the controller processes that and gets a nice quality result. So this is quite a busy slide. And I've made a nice zoom in. So these are some of the things we're sending just from a front end. There's a lot of information, and I don't really expect you to go through this because we have an easier way of doing that. So as you see, I used Netmon, and I was sniffing all the traffic coming into the SDM manager. And you can actually see that at this point, we have this guy, Cornel at mslink.nl, from this IP address, this port. He's using audio. Where do I see that? Type is audio, so we're using audio from a specific port to Thomas on a specific port, specific IP. We send codec information, all the codecs that could be used in that call, upper bandwidth, lower bandwidth, all the information we have about this call. This is call setup, right? So we don't know which codec is going to be used yet. All the information we have, we send it to the controller. So the controller knows everything there is, everything there is to know about the call. And this, well, I'm sorry, this doesn't get sent to the controller, it gets sent to the SDM manager. So once we read the SDM manager, and now it's a bit better readable, because I thought this is more interesting, this is actually now compiled by the SDM manager, and the SDM manager starts doing, starts sending this information. So we've got the audio call from Cornel to Thomas, with port ranges, everything. We have the fact it's a UDP call. We have the codec G722, a siren, a G711ULAW, G711ALAW, all the possible codecs. All this is aggregated, sending over to the controller. And we're not just doing that, because if we set up a call, it's not just audio from Cornel to Thomas. It's also audio going back from Thomas to Cornel. So we'll also tell the controller, well, there's an audio flow coming back. Once again, ports, IP addresses, everything, SIP addresses. We'll add any other information we might add. So I also started video. So you'll see that there's a starter update type video. Once again, from Cornel to Thomas, including codecs used, it's UDP, codecs used, legacy codecs, upper, lower bandwidth, so we could go to 4 Mbit here. Everything that's in there, everything we know about this call is transmitted to the controller. And of course, video flows back from Thomas to Cornel. So, link-aware Wi-Fi in action. I'll hand it over to Tenu. She knows way more about the control than I do.
Here it goes. So how many of you over here believe that if you have WMM, all your problems are solved? WMM is a great standard, right? No discredit to the standards body. They've done a great job in telling us exactly how traffic needs to be prioritized to the air, provided it's coming up properly up to the wireless LAN access points. And what ends up happening is with a lot of the innovation that has happened in the wireless, this is just not Aruba, but just generally in wireless, you have a lot more aspects of it that WMM does not currently take into consideration. And even if they do take into consideration, you have a lot of clients that haven't implemented it yet. So what should ideally happen in an environment when the traffic hits the controller? This is our version. We've done a lot of research on this. Is first of all, we get the information about the call, both in-call, post-call information. On the wireless LAN solution itself, we want the traffic to start getting tagged properly, right? we have to not just trust what's coming on the wired network, but you want to look at what's coming on the wired network and make sure that voice is tagged as voice, video is tagged as video, desktop sharing is tagged as either background or video, depending on your applications. Normally, what we found is when the traffic hits the controller, it's VLAN tagged. So all your traffic is either at the same priority as voice or at the same priority as video. Furthermore, the clients are also tagging the prior traffic optionally. So you, in an environment with 10,000 clients, you have one that's sending upstream tags, one that's incorrectly sending upstream tags, and that one which decides it just doesn't want to do anything except send the traffic with the background traffic. So the controller, the wireless system, sits in a very unique place where if QoS is implemented on your wired, we need to correct what's happening on the wireless client side. And if things are not set on the wired side, we need to make sure that they get set on the wireless side so you get the right priority and performance. Right? How often does your user, end user, call you on the phone and say, hey, I'm having a call issue, it's probably on your wired network? And how often do they say, hey, it just sucks, what have you done to the wireless? Right? So this is what we're trying to address over here. The second piece of it is, when you have a controller-based solution, traffic does go on a GRE tunnel. You want to make sure that whatever priority you think needs to happen on the traffic is also implemented on the tunnel. And the third piece of it is, of course, on the access point itself. How many of you here are aware of RF management? RF management on the access point. So typically, when you deploy an access point, you have to give it a channel and a power level so that it's transmitting and has coverage, and everywhere you go, your client can pick up the access point and the RF signal. How many of you here think RF management is simple, that you just pick a VLAN and it's done? Actually, it's not. In fact, I have worked in the industry 10 years, and I still cannot tell you without the right tools whether I need to put it on channel 48, 54, 11, 6, and the numbers keep increasing, right? So you, most of the vendors in the industry will implement some kind of RF management where the access points are talking to each other, they're looking at the environment around them, and they pick the right channel and power level. To do that, they have to go off channel and scan the environment for a few seconds. And during those seconds, they're not available to the clients. If your client was on a voice call, you're dropping packets. You would notice the blip much more on a voice call than you would on a video, than you would on desktop sharing. So your RF management system, which is helping you to stay healthy, needs to be aware of what's happening on your voice environment. So the next question is, why do I even need RF management? So I'll just turn it off. Do you know that if you turn on your microwave, it affects RF so much? If you turn on your Bluetooth, if you put your wireless Bluetooth really cool keyboard and mouse right next to your laptop, it affects RF. Also, did you know each of us is a big, at least 8 glasses of water walking around, and that affects RF signal too. So you need an RF environment which is looking at what's happening, and you need an RF access point which can change channels dynamically to accommodate changes in the environment. That's the way you'll get performance. So you cannot compromise between RF management and voice. So that's exactly what we're trying to do. Because we get call information using the SDN API, we're able to be voice aware and video aware on the RF management side. Here are some of the pages that you would start, right? How do you know that traffic is getting prioritized, and why is it important? If you look at the client WMM AC, you'll see that all the tags that we were seeing coming in from Corneille's system were zero. That means traffic was not really getting tagged on the system. If traffic is not getting tagged on the system, you can't prioritize. Because we have the SDN API talking to us, we're able to say, hey, that's a voice stream, that's a video stream, we understand the codec, we're applying new codecs to it. New tags to it. It would be really inappropriate to change the codecs. That wouldn't work.
Pretty cool, though.
That would be cool. The second piece of it is when you get a voice call, by show of hands, how many people call you saying, I am on an Android phone. My IP address is 192, blah, 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 and my MAC address is so-and-so, and I'm having packet loss issues, so help me troubleshoot this problem. Okay, I'm the only nerd then. I do that with my IT team. But because we get client names, because we're integrated with the AD server, we're able to type in a username and say, what are all the devices associated with the user? What are the types of the devices, IP addresses, MAC addresses, how long the call was, when did it start, information that your end user probably will not give you or will be annoyed giving it to you. So here's your first step, right at the very beginning, first step to understanding what's happening in the environment.
So and before you continue, so one of the really cool things that you can see here, if you look at the by the way, this is the same call, but I just had to. It didn't fit in the slide. They really don't make like 40 by 9 projectors. So if you go to the export name and the wireless BSS ID, I started off my call on the same BSS ID. The controller is intelligent enough to know it's silly to put, if I have multiple access points, it's silly to have them on the same access point. Let's spread the client. So you actually see that these two clients are on different BSS IDs now. They've moved between access points. The controllers actively push them to different access points to make sure that we use all available bandwidth. Once again, one of the options we actually have now, because the controller is aware that this was a call, not just because QS tag was enabled, we know this because we've told the controller this is a call and calls are important to us.
Yep.
Yes. Where, the station MAC?
The station MAC is a device MAC. Yes, on our UI we call it station. Yes.
And it's, as you can see, it's a hyperlink, so you can click it and you'll see everything that Naughty Device has done.
Yeah, so over here what you don't see is there is also another column which will give you exactly the device type, whether it is a Surface tablet, your Android tablet, iOS. It'll give you the device type over there, and it also tells you the different streams. So, for example, here it's telling you that there is two voice streams and two video streams going on. So the call is a voice and video call between two users. So this is just zooming in on the information. I'm not going to go over it because we covered it in the last slide, but yes, we do modify the DSCP, we do modify the WMM, even though we don't get the appropriate information from either the wired side or the client side. So why is this important, right? I just said nobody is calling you and telling you all the information that you need on the call. The second piece of it is troubleshooting becomes difficult if you have to touch 10 pieces before you get one piece of information that's relevant to you. So if you had to go into the QoE server and then spend 10 minutes going through the log of the call, then had to come into the Aruba platform, find out exactly what IP addresses matched what users at what time, and then even worse is like, hey, were they on a voice call? Who were they calling? How long was the call? Was this the second call that had a quality issue? With Microsoft, what we are able to do is when we get voice, we know when the call starts exactly what streams are happening, when do we prioritize, what we can do on the environment, and also post-call, how can we present this information to you so that you can find characteristics and you can troubleshoot your environment. You can find patterns in your environment, whether it's an access point or whether it is a particular client that's having an issue. So for Cornel's call, for example, he set up the call, and these were some of the screenshots, dashboards that he was able to see. On the top left corner, it gives you call volume. So it tells you if you had multiple protocols, how many calls for each protocol was done. If you have call quality, it gives you a breakup of what was your call quality. Now, the gray area over here is because for wired clients in the current release, we cannot give you the call quality report, but that's being worked on in the future. We currently process call quality for wireless clients. And the last right side corner, just at the very beginning, will give you a good idea of what's going on because it's a mapping of your client's Wi-Fi health to the client's actual call health. Ideally, you want to see all your call in the top right-hand corner like you do see over here. And if you start seeing calls in the left-hand bottom corner, my left hand, you know, your left hand, bottom corner, then you know that it is probably because you're having RF issues in your environment, because your client health quality is bad. And the RF issues don't necessarily reflect to what's happening on your Wi-Fi. It just means that your client is having connectivity issues. When you go one step deeper onto the Aruba platform, you can actually see what is happening on the client side now. Is the client actually tagging the traffic properly? What percentage of your clients are tagging the traffic properly? What percentage of your clients belong to a Windows operating system? What percentage of your clients on Link belong to iOS? This helps you categorize your network and say, I see this particular trend with this particular iOS model. Does this scale, and what percentage of my clients are getting affected by it? Right? Also, things like, let me go check on this access point because I see a bad call on this access point. And you historically see that on this particular access point, you had bad call quality. You know you have a faulty access point. You can do the same thing with a client. Go search for a client. Look at all the call history on the client. You know that the client's Wi-Fi health has been good, but historically, the client's been roaming a lot, or historically, the client's call quality is bad. So you know it's a client-related issue. So it helps you categorize exactly where you need to start looking for the problem very quickly. Things that you would otherwise be sitting in a corner asking them 100 questions, playing 100 questions, right? Am I warm? Am I cold? And at one point, they're going to say, I just don't care. I'm not going to use the application anymore. Going into details, this is the utility or utilization of the applications on your network. We can give you system-level overviews that says how much of your bandwidth currently is being used for Link. What is your utilization? Here you see a big box on Link video because we were running the test. Cornel was running the test in his lab around Link. So if you had other applications, it would break it up to see what were your top usage of your applications, what are the top IP addresses or destinations you're going to, your top application category, and you can click into each of these, which will then expand and give you more information on the different categories and the bandwidth utilization, what's happening on the controller side, where are you going, destinations, et cetera. So Cornel did more complicated stuff. Of course, he's not going to be happy with the voice video call.
It's even more. So, well, let's try if we can confuse the controller, right? And I'm going to do bad things to it. So I'm doing desktop sharing as well. And I'm adding Tenu to the call. She's on a wired laptop. So we're now going outside the comfort zone of the controller. This is something that we're not controlling the wired network yet. We added modalities, and we're making this a conference call. And actually, to be honest, it handles it pretty well. It will show you that we're doing a data connection now. So this is the same call as before. But now, actually, we added a new IP address. We added new station MAC. I'm still using Cornel and Thomas B because, well, we are the two wireless clients. Since I initiated this, this is Cornel, that's the called party. All the IP addresses that's running, now we get to see front-end IP addresses as well. For the front-end service, that's the 42. So we keep existing audio streams, keep prioritizing them. We prioritize them wherever we can, and we apply QS tagging wherever we can. We can't see some existing tags because they were wired. But we keep reporting on that. We say that this was a desktop sharing in a conference. This was a video call in a conference. This was a voice call in a conference. Well, actually, keep reporting on everything that's happening. Even if we add extra clients, even if we change the modalities, I've changed, and you can see it by the time, right? This is still 323 seconds. Even though we started off with a peer-to-peer call and we moved modalities, we moved into a different kind of setup, we are still in full control of the call, we're still aware of the call, we still know who's calling who, we're still reporting on that. So even if clients start escalating calls into conferences, you will not lose your login. You will not lose your details. You will not lose anything. It's still fully reported.
One thing that I do want to point out over there, there are two main things that change, right? From a wireless perspective, from a Link perspective, you probably will not, as an end user, you probably will not even think of it. From a controller perspective,
from peer-to-peer calls to now calls going through the link server and hairpinning back. So our destination has changed, which means we now intelligently have to change our prioritization and say the traffic was not peer-to-peer, but now it's going back to the link server. The second piece of it, which is interesting, is I don't know how many of you noticed, but we're actually prioritizing desktop sharing at the same level as video because it is configured on the system for this particular test setup to do so. We've had a lot of conversations with customers who say, in their environment, desktop sharing is as frequently used and needs to be as reliable as video conferencing. So then you can go ahead, and even though desktop is background, as the way the client set it or your network is going to set it, we will be able to prioritize it to your requirements. And this happens only because we're talking to the link server with the SDN API. We get information about the desktop sharing system, and we're able to push up the priority so that you can make desktop sharing reliable on your network.
Yeah, and as Tenu said, you can change it. Once, so those who have worked with me before, I'm kind of lazy. So I just used the default setup. I really didn't do anything else than the three little checkboxes I showed you. And all the DSCP tagging, the QS tagging, WMM tagging, that's happening automatically. So yes, we can change them. These are the default values, and I think they would suit most customers well. So we have this logging, and of course our dashboard is changing. So this is the real life dashboard. So we can see that, well, we've added desktop sharing. We've added, I actually changed my video to do full screen. So yeah, we're using a lot more bandwidth for unified communications. So this is a live view of everything that's happening on my network. And I still have some encrypted stuff and some web stuff and some other things. But unified comms is now taking up quite a lot of bandwidth in my network, which is good because it's the only thing I'm doing. So if it's doing other stuff, then I'm sort of scared. Video, desktop sharing, voice, just the three things that I was using get completely recognized and prioritized. And we have a question. Yes. So the question is, what if your application is already tagging with a certain QS value? Do we re-tag or not? I'm going to say we do.
Actually, there's two options you can do there. Sure. If you prefer to go with the default option, then you will be re-tagging the traffic. If you have a customized QoS setting, then you can go customize your QoS setting on the controller to say what is happening on your environment, and the controller will then tag it according to your environment's QoS.
So the thing is, if your application is tagging, for instance, with 40, and you've told your controller it's 56, you've either configured your controller wrong or your application wrong. So we probably want to stick with the default value of we should re-tag at that point. It's so sure, we can cope with it, but something's fishy is going on. But as you can see in the values we showed you, you'll actually see in your controller that your client is sending a QS tag. It's actually tagging the traffic, and your controller is doing something or not. So you could filter on, I'd like to see whatever our clients are doing, which clients were that. And because we show you that full information with SIP addresses, we show you the MAC addresses, we show you the device names, you actually know quite quickly which device, which user, what time, what was happening. Okay, so you now get this insight instead of just guessing. Devices, so I'm using only Windows devices. I don't own an Android tablet. I'm honest about that. You can also see that because we know the names, it's provided to us. We'll actually show you that the KBFAU2, that was one of my front ends, it's hosting the conference. That's a big traffic destination. And the other two were the clients. So we'll give you all this insight, and I can zoom in, I can click on my front end and tell them, well, I want to see all the traffic going to my front end that you know about, and control will tell me all the clients connected and sending traffic. So this is a great dashboard, right? And this is one of the reasons we wanted to show you 6.4.0 as a software version being used in the Aruba controller, because it shows you all this cool stuff.
So one thing that's interesting over here on the application side, right? we kept talking about link, but link is not just one stream, it's multiple streams. And the application dashboard over here pretty much gives you that, right? For just one call, where you're having voice, video, and desktop sharing, look at just the bandwidth utilization. Completely different. Your video is going to be consuming the most amount of bandwidth, and your voice is going to be consuming the least amount of bandwidth. At the same time, your voice is going to be most sensitive to delay, packet loss, and jitter compared to your video, and your desktop sharing is going to be least sensitive to delay, jitter, and desktop. Jitter, delay, and packet loss. And so hence, there is a very important distinction between how these applications need to be processed on the wireless LAN and the QoS side of the house. So I'm just going to spend a few quick minutes going through what does it look like when you have a lot of calls in your network, both good and bad, what the dashboards look like. You can feel free, if you have more questions on tagging or even on the dashboards, you can come by our booth. We will spend more time explaining to how the product itself works on the Aruba side. But to give you an idea of what this can do for you is you essentially have a single place where you understand what's going on your network, your percentage of good calls, bad calls, or even poor calls. You know exactly when your access points are overloaded, because you might have put in your access point in the conference room 1 year ago, assuming that there won't be more than three people using Link in that conference room, and all of a sudden, 6 months later, people just loved Link, and they started doing all their conference calls on Link, and your utilization has gone up to, say, 25 users. At that point, if you had your system or your wireless LAN solution which could warn you early on what's going on your network, how is your load being handled on your network, you could be proactive. You could decide how many more access points you want to put there. You could see how many of your users were 5 gigahertz versus 2.4 gigahertz, and how do you want to intelligently treat them. So a solution, and this is going back to the point of why you need your application to talk to your controller or your wireless LAN system. When these two units do talk, you're able to do more proactive things on your network, plan more proactively, and also identify, troubleshoot your issues more proactively. You don't have to wait for the end user to come complaining, because you have historic logs of this information, both on the wireless side and on the client side. You can go do deep dive information on any of the calls which are active to see, hey, I just want to do a health check. And most of these dashboards and most of this information can be made available to both your networking team and your Link deployment team, right? At this point, you have common grounds to go talk about a particular problem. It's not about I handle the application, they handle the network, so we don't need visibility into each other. You're now getting a centralized dashboard where the two teams can say, hey, we're seeing the same set of information about Link and wireless. Let's try to make this helpful for our customers. This is a client troubleshooting screen. So when a call is active, you get a lot of details on what's going on your environment, apart from just what is the call log, incoming, outgoing log. But if you had a lot of background traffic, here you will see exactly what are the IP addresses that your client is also accessing at the time of the call, what is the prioritization of that traffic, what is the tagging that's coming out of the traffic, out of the client. So you know what's happening on each of these clients. That gives you more control over what's happening in your environment and how easily you can identify a problem. Imagine you were seeing, a file download session, and there are a lot of smart users who know how to go mess with WMM. So you can actually see that the person might have prioritized their file download to voice because they want to make sure that they get their file download done quicker than the rest of the company, right? You can see that and say, hey, dude, you know, with all due respect, your Link call sucks because you're now downloading a huge file or watching Netflix in the background. So why don't you just kind of pay attention to your business app and disconnect your social app? I'll let him do the grand finale.
Oh. So our conclusion, what we've tried to show you today is we'd like to use Wi-Fi, right? There isn't any user in your company that comes in and tells you, gee, could you please give me some more network port? Because I really like my laptop connected to the wired network. That gives me extra mobility. And if you can give me like a 300 meter cable that I can tag around, that makes it extra fun. People are using Wi-Fi because they're using it at home. They're the only one at home using their access points. So if it works at home, why doesn't it work in the office? Well, because you got 500 competitors in the office. We want to make sure that if link over Wi-Fi is done, it's done right. We've written a white paper about that. We've given you guidance on how to do that. But there are things in there that's hard. It's just hard to do. And with this solution, we're trying to make it way easier. I haven't faked anything. You could see my badly made screenshots and my lab, and everything I'd done was real. I showed you all the screenshots I made. Actually, the most time I actually spent on making the screenshots, because I sort of wanted to get the right things I wanted to show, and the actual setup was really, really easy. And setting it up this way and getting this enabled, it just enables you to have your controller on your network be aware of what's happening. It's something we've been talking about for quite a while. It's something that we always told you, well, you need to apply QoS, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to make sure there's enough bandwidth, you need to make sure there's this, you need to make sure there's that. And it's always been kind of hard, but we knew we had to do that to make link calls right. And this just, I think we can all agree, this just made our life a lot easier. If your controller is better aware of link, if your controller knows how to prioritize traffic correctly, it'll make the controller work more efficiently, it'll make your Wi-Fi work more efficiently, it'll make your end users happier. Because your end users are never going to call you in the end saying, you did a marvelous job on that Wi-Fi, I had such a great call. They never call you, but they will call you saying, yeah, that link thing, that really sucks, because I made a call and the guy couldn't hear me. I don't like those calls, because I know it's not link's fault, there's something else going on. I want to make sure the end user experience is great, and applications like this, implementation like this, enables me to do that. And of course, my favorite thing, better visibility. So I was told, so Nick Smith, he's in the room, so Nick Smith, he's the content owner for this, he told me specifically I shouldn't go off track, he's not here. I'll tell you, one of the things I actually bought, and I'm really regretting that right now. So for those unaware, there's this site called Kickstarter, you can back projects. I actually backed one of the projects that had a Wi-Fi analyzer, a Wi-Fi scope, because I was so fed up going to customers, and they told me, yeah, our Wi-Fi network is great, and no, we won't let you see our controller. I said, well, how am I supposed to trust you if you're saying it's great? Oh, it's new, it's great, it's fantastic, don't worry about it. So I saw this thing on Kickstarter, I backed it, so I have this little tool thingy that I need to make the story way better. I should have brought it probably, but anyway. So I got this little tool, and you can use something like in SSID for your Windows client. I have this tool, and I can go in, and I can just see what's going on here, and you can really zoom in, and you see things like microwaves being used at certain times, especially, we had, I went to a customer where they actually had a conference room, and they had like this break room next to the conference room, and they had like four or five microwaves in a row, and during lunch, their school sucked. Well, what's happening there? And they told me, no, you're not going to touch our Wi-Fi network because it's great. It's fantastic. And we do QoS tagging. We do everything well. With something like SDN, we would have known that these specific calls were dropping because we had heavy interference. The controller would have shown us. They would have shown that, you remember the tree nice, the almost Spanish flag with the green, the yellow, and the red? Yeah, I thought it was a Spanish flag. I'll be honest with that. We would actually see certain clients with a poor call quality and a poor RF quality at that point. We'd click on the call and we'd say, well, it happened at 12:05, and the users were in that room on that access point. Let's sit there. Oh, wait a second, there are a lot of microwaves there. So things like this make our life so much easier. We go into the control and the control just tells us, well, this sucks. At this point, we were very happy with a partner like Urban Networks. They've really put their best leg forward. Is that does that translate to English? I don't know. Yes, yes. There we go. I use Dutch expressions, and then people say, "Yeah, we didn't work for us." Anyway, so it's one of the partners that's worked really well with us on this whole SDN journey that we're on. I think this is really cool, right? I'm playing with this a lot. I should probably play way more with it than I should. And I'm passionate about it. I think this is the future of networks. I've worked with networking stuff for like 12 or 13 years now, really a long time. And this is the first thing that I'm seeing that I'm really passionate about. And I know I'm a software guy now, so I'm not really touching hardware anymore. But software-defined networking, software again. I can touch networks again. Very good. Yes. So am I.
No,
it's done.
It's production.
No, but I mean 20%.
All of this is...
80%?
In terms of the solution, in terms of our market share, I'm trying to...
Yeah, putting these SDNs, like if you went out to the industry, a whole bunch of people have it. I guess I'm not that technical, so I don't
the
know.
Concept...
It sounds fantastic, but are we in the early stages right now?
Well, I would say we're in the early stages of this wave. Yeah. We as a company are backing a lot of standardization in this subject. There is a lot of standardization. I think we're in the early stages. But you see the major companies, if you see the companies that are backing this, companies like Microsoft, HP, Amazon, I believe. So Pascal has the list. So Pascal Menezes, he's our SDN guy. Can I call you the SDN guy? He's now our SDN guy. So you've got all the names by heart. I don't have all the names by heart. But there are pretty big players backing this because they need this. Stuff like this. So think about, you've probably heard of this Office 365 thing that we have. They're kind of big data centers. We run virtual and physical switches. Just think of the impact that something like SDN has for us. We really like this. And we're really far along implementing this. And we want other people to do that as well.
Because all the things you're talking about, we run into that problem.
Yes.
And we don't know what the heck.
Yes.
People complaining. So, they look at it, it sounds like, there's nowhere the problem is.
So
but
I'd
yes.
actually
but
take that. It is announced. So I'll take that in two parts, right? SDN as an industry is currently growing. People are bringing their solutions to the table and seeing how the industry is going to collaborate on this. Various switches, routers, what kind of standard protocols, how much of it is going to be open, how much of it is going to be proprietary. This particular solution is very SDN focused. This is Aruba and Microsoft going out to the world and saying, see what SDN can do for Wi-Fi. This is available in production today. You can literally enable this in your environment today if you had an Aruba controller.
Well, we have Dell, Cisco, so.
I'm sorry, but.
That's it. That's marketing for you. So nothing about this is secret. Nothing about this is if Cisco would like to, and I know they're working on this, right? They can enable this as well. I can't comment on what Cisco is doing or not. There are a lot of people working on this. If you go to our website, we have a special UCOIP page where you can find more information about this. It's technet.microsoft.com/UCOIP. And you can find qualified networking equipment, and you can also find information about SDN controls and things like that. So if we go to the next slide, thank you, there we go. If we go to the next slide, we actually have a download for the SDN API that you can download all the documentation, all the stuff, because the only thing that you can get today is the 6.4.0 software for Aruba Networks, so you won't have the fancy GUI. That's the difference that you would have. You would have the exact same options, and Jamie Stark wrote a blog together with my friend in SDN, Pascal, that actually talks about our vision for Link and Wi-Fi. For Link and SDN, and how we feel this is impacting us in the industry. There's also more information about the Aruba Networks Link offering, and you can email them if you want more information about this specific solution. And I have another question in the back.
You had a question.
That is fine. That's why I'm coming to your question.
What if any other partners are on par with
Google? So
right now, there are two ways to... Okay, the way we would answer that question is, the SDN API gives us some amount of visibility into the traffic. What Aruba does and the way we display the information is very specific to what our current capabilities are on our platform, the deep packet inspection engine, and the way we are displaying the data. If you were asking me, are there other partners who can do the same thing, we haven't seen another solution which can give you the same level of deep packet inspection because they don't have that integration currently available. I'm not going to comment on what they can do in the future, but implementations, even with the SDN API, will be very different because it then comes back to the onus. It's just like any standards protocol, right? You take the information, how you digest it is based on the capabilities of the platform itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that one and the second part is a deep packet inspection, which gives us more capabilities of playing around with the traffic, representing it a different way, and also doing the visualizations that we can do.
So I do want to get, because I get a deeper meaning behind the question. As far as Wi-Fi, yes, we've partnered with Aruba on quite a few occasions also to write the wireless and Link 2013 and 2010 white paper. They've qualified a lot of our equipment. We've qualified their equipment, so we've worked intensively with Aruba. And when we had the SDN API, they stepped up and they said, we're going to work on this. We feel this is the future for us. Do we have other partners doing SDN stuff? Yeah, we have a boatload of partners. We have like Nectar, they're presenting here. We have we have a bunch of partners. And I don't know them all by heart. I'm sorry. If you're in the room and you do SDN stuff as well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you. There are a lot of partners. Right now, we have Aruba Networks doing this for Wi-Fi. There is nothing stopping any partner to do anything with this. We are in the, well, we're I think we can call it in the early stages of getting traction with this, and not just us, just SDN in general, but the traction's there. And we're calling more and more attention to it with things like these sessions and special SDN tracks at things like Link Conference. So Aruba has a specialized offering they have unique capabilities. If Cisco tomorrow stepped up and said, we're going to do Link SDN as well, they can do Link SDN. If, I don't know, Avaya, whoever, I don't really care. If any vendor stepped up tomorrow and said, we're going to support this, there is nothing stopping them to make this up par, and I'm sorry, Tenu, maybe even better than what Aruba is doing. I think they have a great head start. There's nothing stopping anyone. This is not proprietary stuff we're doing with SDN. Fantastic. Yep. So I'm sorry. So the API you've seen is the SDN API. That's a Microsoft software-defined networking API. It's Microsoft and it's using XML. And we've documented everything about that. So the thing that's Aruba here is the controller and the access points. That was the Aruba portion. The way they handle the SDN information, the way we send out the SDN stuff. So Dell happens to use the same software as Aruba is using. HP, they're doing SDN for WAN optimization. They're just using our APIs.
So one thing that we are going to see more and more of is more of the UC vendors and the networking vendors working on a more open standard of this API, and then their own interpretations of how they're going to support. On the networking side, you're going to see their own interpretations of how they'll support it, and on the UC side, you'll see what kind of information different UC vendors are going to feed it. Well, I work with Pascal and a bunch of other vendors on this. The goal here is to make this open standard, and we're working on that.
Does that mean, follow up to that question, does that mean that you're going to rev your API?
We will be, so on the Aruba side, with every OS version, we're trying to interoperate with the newer refs of the SDN API. Yeah. There is continuous refs. Future is to see how both systems can, today there is information flow in one direction. Future refs will see information flow in both directions on, between the UCC and the wireless LAN infrastructure. I'll get him and I'll come back to you, sorry. No, no. 6.3 and above, sir.
All of us have existing equipment. Can you do your solution here part of the network and not for the other part of the big time ingredient to do it all
in access? If you already have an Aruba infrastructure, then there is not going to be any issue with it. The issue comes when you're not running an Aruba wireless LAN solution. In which case, we have to discuss on what is it that you're looking to do, and we'll tell you what is capable.
So if you're running a complete Cisco infrastructure today, you can't simply put in an Aruba controller and have it work.
No, I'm saying that it's more generic than that. You have existing infrastructure. So assuming it's all Aruba.
All Aruba wireless. Yes, you can. Yeah. No problem with that. You can actually do that.
Yes. So in the and I took this picture because I wanted to make sure it's clear that this portion, this is all Microsoft, right? It's all Microsoft SDN API. There's nothing Aruba here. In this little fellow, I can tell him, please send your information to these controllers. So I could send it to the controller in Las Vegas and not send it to Dallas. Or maybe in the Dallas controller, I could send it to everywhere and just tell the Dallas controller to not honor the SDN input. Sure. Yes.
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 So
we have customers who are currently doing that. Just
so the problem I have now is that the angry red light is on. So we have follow-up speakers here, and they want to prepare. So if you have questions, come on to the front. We'll stay here, and we'll happily answer any question you have. But I need to make sure that the next speaker doesn't hate me. So thank you.